Tonight's episode of The War Room is brought to you courtesy of the Boston Battle Bunker. That's 69 Penn Street in Boston, Lincolnshire. The biggest selection of bolt action in Lincolnshire. They do competitions, games, and will see to all your needs. In fact, he's got one of the biggest selections of bolt action in the UK. So guys, get down to the bostonbattlebunker.co.uk. Aloha everybody and welcome to The War Room. Special episode this week. It's the Tipsy Harrison episode.
Not as bad as last time.
He's had a few jars. We're down here on the road to Imps to play in Lincoln to play at Gaz Walsh's competition tomorrow. I've forgotten the name of the competition. It must have a name. Nobody seems to know. And we're sitting here with Mr. Andrew Mackay, or we Green Stunnies, from YouTube. So he's laughing at us from the side. Had a few beers. We've all travelled down today. Travelled the best part of, must be about 6.5 hours with the roadworks that we're on. And we're here in the bedroom tonight, all very cosy. And we are, what have we got on our minds tonight? Somebody had something that they wanted to get off their chest.
Dice towers need to stop.
Dice towers.
I don't know if I really need to explain this. I shouldn't need to, but...
You're going to, because it's radio. It really doesn't come across well if you don't explain it.
Oh, like, oh my God, what's the point? I just need to watch you count out your dice and drop them in the tower. Just roll your dice. Or it's also... We were talking about this earlier, and... Phil was saying that in Blood Bowl you need a dice tower because everyone else uses a cup and they smash down the cup really hard. Why are they using cups?
So we're talking for a ban on dice cups and dice towers in bolt action. I can see because dice towers, it takes up less room and whatever, but
does it? It takes up more room. It's more kit you've got to lug about, isn't it?
I normally use a dice tray to roll my dice into.
Yeah, but it holds your dice as well, doesn't it?
It does, but I don't, because it's, I don't like dice going all over the board. And you get some guys that roll dice and end up knocking over half your army and they're going on the floor and stuff. So, personally, I don't like that.
Oh, usually use a piece of terrain, like there's a lake. I'll just use the lake. Or like a field.
Sound effects from Harrison. And use an empty field, yeah, I suppose. But
yeah, when I see someone with a dice tower, I immediately go, it's going to be one of those games, isn't it?
Oh, not necessarily. Andy's going to buy one just to annoy Harrison. So that's a grudge match first game.
The battle of the dice tower.
So we're talking about tomorrow then, now that we've got dice towers off our chest. And... what are you bringing, Harrison?
I'm playing a very thematic list.
It is if you're a smoker. Need a light, sir?
I'm bringing... Say a flamethrower list. There's only three flamethrowers. It's only three.
I thought you had four.
I think it's three. I can't... I've only got three trucks. We've only got three flamethrowers.
Three what?
Flamethrowers. Is it thrower, as in... throwing or flooring as in it's flowing?
It's throwing as in throwing rather than flow as in flowing.
Plus both make sense in my head. So I don't know.
The flames flow.
You know?
but they are thrown from the game. Hence the flame throw. Anyway, so you're taking three...
It was the same one I played in Dwarf. Quite nice armies. I've also got my veteran squad with two MMGs. Or a light machine guns, but like MMGs. Yeah. I like that German special rule there. I've also got an actual MMG, which is like, it's got seven shots, something like that?
Six shots.
Six for Germans. So that's quite nice as well. So you're on my defence, and I've also got a Panzer III for a good measure.
You have. And you could have taken a Panzer IV, to be fair. Yeah. Or even a Flampanzer. Flampanzer.
Is it a Flampanzer wagon or something? Other flamethrower half track. Could take nine of them.
Was it nine?
I think it was nine. I was like, I could take nine of them.
110 points each.
Yeah. Really mess people up. And they have 12 intrays, not 6 intrays in the Flying Force.
They talk about me being spammy. God, that's terrible, man.
Historical list.
All your historical
list. My Japanese historical list, because I couldn't... I didn't really have enough time to do anything, so I'm taking the same list as I played at Adepticon in the 1,000 points for US Nationals and see if I could actually win. But I don't know if I'm playing tomorrow yet or not. I think I am. But I was planning to come down and just tape and do video, but it looks like I've been turfed in at the last moment. So we'll see. But there's really good prizes tomorrow. I think everybody is going to come away with a prize. And I can't remember the company now, but there's one of the companies that have given 3 £80 vouchers, which is pretty neat.
Nice watch companies.
Foundry,
yes. Yeah, I've given 3 £80 vouchers, and there is an army box from Warlord. We've got the Warlord Golden Nipples. So Warlord have done some... Warlord, they did big trophies for the GT, which was a shell coming through a steel plate. And they've produced some small mini ones, which are pretty mini, to be honest. But they're giving those to Warlord Sanctions events, so it's obviously a Warlord Sanctions event. So there will be the golden, silver and bronze nipples on...
What are the requirements for being a Warlord Sanctioned? Is it an email you just send them and they're like, yeah, or what?
I think they've got minimum requirements, and I think they're looking for more people to apply to see if they come. But you've got to have a certain number of players, and it's got to be open, and I don't know exactly what the requirements are. I should know, because Scottish Nationals is going to be Warlord sanctioned, so I'd better find out pretty darn quick.
When is that?
Scottish Nationals, May. So you should be able to play in it.
Yeah, we'll see. I hope I do.
What are you going to take for that?
Hong Kong Defence Force. Oh. The Royal Hong Kong Regiment's coming out, boys. I don't know.
It's another one of those lists that comes from the Wikipedia campaign book.
Yes. I might just buy a book to say I read it. I've been doing some research.
And your research was?
That I can take a cheesy list and also make it themed. It's brilliant. Because the Hong Kong Defence Force had artillery pieces. And it's China, so there's tons of them. You can spam infantry, can't you? Infantry artillery spam, here we come.
So what list are you going to use for the Hong Kong Defence Force?
I don't know. I could take normal British. I could proxy Chinese, or I could proxy Gurkhas. I was thinking Japanese, because the Japanese have rules for buying defences and that. So I was thinking of taking Japanese.
Oh, you're going to take one of those lists?
Yep.
Out of the Burma book? Not the Burma book, the New Guinea book.
Or
that might be quick. So you're thinking of doing that for Nationals? 1250 points. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Or we could just take German
flamethrowers. You could just take your 15 German.
You could just take more flamethrowers.
Or so I was also thinking of doing, was it a Duggan Panther army? How many Duggan Panthers can I get?
You don't see many dug-in panthers, it has to be said.
It's your tiger and your two panthers. That's who you want to take.
Yeah, the tiger and two panthers is not a good shout.
No, what about you, Andrew? You're playing a tiger tomorrow, aren't you?
My list is...
Oh, it's secret. Oh, he's being very cagey.
Secret.
It looks like the Scottish boys are coming down to get prizes.
Aye. Wooden spoon, mate.
It's probably a big prize for the wooden spoon.
I'm hoping to do well Sunday. I've written off tomorrow. But Sunday?
So tomorrow is Ems, and it's a 40-man tournament, and then we've got what's probably going to be about a 12-man tournament over at Boston at the, of all places, the Boston Battle Bunker, high sponsor. So we're going over there to play a game on the Sunday. So we're hoping with the lower numbers it'll improve our chances.
Probably not.
Because in theory we should have about a quarter of the field. So you would think one of us would win something.
Maybe.
But Nick, who owns Boston Battle Bunker, the guys were telling me in the shop that on occasion he's been known to come last. And at one of the competitions they actually gave him an oar that's been engraved for the... for the wooden spoon. So I know it's they made it sound as though it was 12 feet long, but it's 5 feet, a 5 foot oar that's been engraved with the wooden spoon. So that's a pretty neat prize, actually.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So, Oh, so what else? What's been annoying us and getting under our skins?
Conflict 47, how terrible it was.
Controversy on the war room.
We talked about this before on the show, but yeah. Such a big missed opportunity. They could have done so much with it, and what we got was, we're going to release this before version 2, it's going to be a different rule set, so we're going to have to learn stuff for the rule set. And oh look, version 2, let's learn another rule set. I thought, fuck off. I don't know. If they release it like a supplement, like Seal Island, perfect Amindo. Mm-hmm. On that topic, I was listening to another podcast where they said, we want it to be its own separate game. We don't want it to just be bolt action with pop guns. Well, it should have been bolt action with pop guns, because that would have sold better, I would think, but I'm not on their business. I'm not in the business wing. Yeah. I would definitely have bought more.
So is there anything about 47 that you actually do like?
The models are pretty swanky. The idea about the rift opening up and all that, that's pretty cool. The Japanese models are pretty sick. Something like that.
Don't encourage Japanese players.
I am learning Japanese just to look at it.
That's a private joke, folks, but anyway.
I'm not. I'm definitely not.
So yeah, I quite like the models. The walkers are pretty cool. I painted up a walker. I think I was going to put it into a competition last year and never did. But I've never actually used it I've never played Conflict 47. I don't think I've even had a run through of the rules. I may have read the rules, but I've not even run through the rules.
They're still similar to version 1. What I've heard is they're very similar to version 1. But
I think you can react against assaults and things like you can in Gates of Antares in a similar way. Yeah, but Gates of Antares uses a D10. I really like the idea of playing with a D10.
I do as well. But you get more precision.
I think so. Defense. I think you get a bit more nuance with a D10.
Now I can say, well, this cover gives you +3, this cover gives you +1, this cover gives you +4. Mm-hmm. So you get more precision and accuracy of what does.
Well, it gives you a bit more. It just gives you a bit more room for scope. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a bit more options.
Difference between walls and a hedge.
But
like hard, soft and hard cover. A trench will give you different from a wall. Because a wall. Careful what I say. A wall.
Like that's going to stop you.
I imagine 7.62 would go for a wall.
Yeah.
But 5.5 is probably.
But on the other hand, that's
what the wall is made of, blah, blah, blah.
That might complicate walls. That might complicate the rules a bit more, though. But I like the idea of, for rolling to hit, it gives you a bit more variation or whatever. I like, that's one of the things I liked about Gates of Antares was the D10.
Yeah, I like that.
Whether it
However, one thing is, though, who has spare D10s lying about? No one does. D6s are readily available.
Buy Gates of Antares and you get D10s in the box.
Great, I now have two D10s. Brilliant.
Well, you get quite a lot of D10s in the box. But
D6s are readily available. Yeah, they are,
everybody has D6s, but yeah, I kind of like the idea of.
But yeah, they could have done so much.
It could have been so good. So you've got.
There's only so much World War II you can do. That would be their money maker. That'd be their 40k carrying on.
Yeah.
Because once you've done all the World War II, it's like, okay. I feel like that's where Flames of War is done. Because the whole thing of Flames of War was all the European side, Africa, Europe side. And they're like, oh, we're going to start doing Pacific now. And I know their new rule sets, like F them, so. That's the end of Flames of War, I guess.
That was a bit of a shame seeing the guys at the. Selling the Battlefront stuff at the Adepticon. It was quite a stand in the whole place. Poor boys were sitting with their mouths drooping and they're just bored as hell. So
what's it called? What's the Team Yankee?
Yeah.
That, to me, initially looked really cool. Then I started seeing a few games and I realised there's about 40 tanks in less than a kilometre square. That doesn't look right.
Yeah.
But it's like slightly bigger scale and everything looks like there's like 10 tanks in a line. Like
it's like they're in a parking lot and you're like, yeah, it looked a bit unreal the bit. But I didn't really understand the game.
I like the idea of having something in the 80s. Or mid-80s?
Well, we've got 90s? Careers coming for bolt action.
That'll be good.
So, although it's not the 80s or the 90s, but what's that? Career, the 60s?
50s?
60s? 68?
before Vietnam, mid-50s.
And presumably that would then lead into a rule set for Vietnam and a few more models. I mean, for Korea, you don't need that many more models, really. There's a few tanks. But for Vietnam, you'd probably need more. And then we're talking about helicopters. Do they have helicopters in Korea? Or they probably did.
Early helicopters. I'm trying to think. AKs, technically 47, but I don't think they're really being issued. Not in Korea. AK-47's Delta. T-40s, I think the Chinese got them 50-something.
You know, so we've got... And then you can roll that on, possibly, to the Arab-Israeli war. I mean, Gaz Walsh, who we guys met tonight again, he does play bolt action for Arab Israeli.
That does not light my candle, though. I'm sure it's very important to a lot of people, but I do not give a damn.
Well, no, but everybody has their own favourite scenarios. I mean, a lot of people are looking forward to a rule set for bolt action for World War One.
Again,
now I don't
that
know.
That sounds good, but when you really think about it, it's really just watered down bolt action, isn't it?
Yeah, lots of infantry and machine guns, very few tanks. Unless it's late.
But remember, the
trench warfare. Like,
well, remember, most of the First World War wasn't fought over the trenches.
Yeah.
But that's the bit everybody thinks about. But there was the whole thing going on in the Middle East and all over the place.
I think maybe if they spent a lot of time working on close combat, and that could be a good avenue to go down with for World War One.
I mean, what's
other than that, you're really using riflemen. Early tanks, early submachine guns. How is it different? How is it more interesting? If anything, it's less interesting than standard bolt action because you've got less equipment out of your hands.
Well, you're using different things.
You've
been locked in a room with Phil, have you? Phil's the other member of our party who's decided to go to bed. And rumour has it he can inflict severe chemical damage on. Yeah, that's a place we don't want to go. We don't want to go. So there's quite a lot of scope. I would love to see a Falklands bolt action, just because that interests me.
I like the idea of that, but I think that's just called British. I don't think that would sell anywhere else.
Yeah,
I couldn't see Americans. Can Americans
unless a rift opened up and the Americans and the Japanese came into the Falklands?
That'd be good.
That's a guy small.
I really
small island.
How much close air support affected the Falklands War? That's what I'm worried about. Because there was no tanks, more or less. There was any. Maybe
troops. It's troops.
Yeah, it's an infantry. So I imagine
skirmish game.
Troops and,
skirmish game in Fort Stand, Port Stand.
So I wonder how big close air support had a role in British victory. Hopefully, someone's written an essay I can read up there on it.
I'm pretty sure there's quite a lot written on the Falklands.
I would like to see Vietnam. It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Too many tanks in that either. Really.
Well, the other thing with Vietnam is there's an awful lot of film, you know, Hollywood films, as well as actual film footage.
Yeah.
So there's quite a lot of rich, tapestry and material to.
A lot of references for it. Like,
yeah, and you could see people because normally people get into bolt action and then they get into the history of something.
A Marlon Brando model. Like, that's what I want.
I think Vietnam's a good choice. Because again, there's a variety. I think you do a South Vietnamese army would be interesting.
Yeah, well, because you had the French in Vietnam as well, right?
Yeah,
the French were for the Americans, right? The French in Vietnam, right? So you do have
Dutch
section of forces.
New Zealand Defence Force. Or New Zealand Army.
New Zealand Army.
Yeah, man, New Zealand.
Yeah, it looks as though if you watch the War Room show on YouTube, as you will find out shortly, I'll be playing a Dutch army and learning that there's not a lot of choice with the Dutch. I can't even get a veteran unit.
I
don't think they've got any veteran. Oh, you might be able to take some of the vehicles, inverted commas, as veteran. I don't think you can take the tankette as a veteran, but they might have a vehicle.
Hong Kong regiment is more choice.
It'll be interesting working on a Dutch. If anybody out there knows where I can get plastic Dutch models for World War II, 1940, and European front, let me know. I think I've sourced a few metal models for that front, but nothing in plastic. But we'll see. Or what could we use as, you know, could I use Russian heads on...
It's awkward because I think they had unique helmets. Cause they didn't use Adrian or Brody helmets.
They kind of look like the what I imagine, the East German modern helmets. They were kind of like coal scuttles, but bigger. Mm. It's sort of like Stormtrooper helmets.
Not Star Wars Legion.
Get Star Wars Legion and do that.
I am excited for Star Wars Legion.
Which seamlessly brings us on to Star Wars Legion. It's as though we'd scripted this.
Unfortunately, I don't think it'll come to anything in the club. But I really like Star Wars. So I'm going to try it out.
I love Star Wars
is going to be popular just because it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
I did have a demo at Adepticon. And the demo went through a turn and a half. And it seemed a bit more complicated but that's than bolt action. But that's maybe because I didn't really fully understand the rules.
Thoughts on Last Jedi? Controversial. The Star Wars film. The last Star Wars film you watched.
Was it?
Well, did you like it? Did you enjoy it?
You should know by now. You shouldn't ask your dad anything that's to do with memory in the past. I did enjoy the film. But what was controversial? What was controversial about it?
Everyone hated it, more or less. I liked it.
I liked it. It was good, wholesome entertainment. Good, wholesome entertainment.
I hate sand. It's so cursed. It gets everywhere.
Yeah, Princess Leia.
Yeah, we don't want to follow
that
up on
that.
That
was a bit weird, the like, fight through space. Space. Yeah, that was a bit...
Mm. And then suddenly she's away. Yeah.
But like, it had some... I wonder if it was too simple. Because I could easily go and pick up themes and say, that story arc does this, and maybe that was too simple if I could just go out and say, well, that was him. But other than that, I really enjoyed it. I liked it.
So does bolt action need its own film series? And how would we do it? Because remember, Warlord, John Stiles and that, it's the kind of inspiration was the Warlord comics, who neither of my people here will actually remember, to be honest. But I remember Warlord comics, an old-fashioned comic, and it was just full of, you know, like boys' own ripping yarns about the war. And I wonder if we had a bolt action film, what would it be like? Because I've been watching some films on YouTube, not films, some old TV programs, one called The Rat Pack, which is kind of like the A-Team, but it's set during the war in, you know, LRDG, Long Range Desert.
Yeah.
And it's the same guys fight the same guys in every episode. And basically, it's a battle in the sand, and it looked, you know, but it's good. It's kind of, it's got that nostalgia thing. And yeah, it's bad acting, but it kind of makes it kind of good. And they go on a secret mission every week, kind of thing. And it was the sort of thing you'd watch when you were a kid, you know, like 10 or something on a Saturday morning telly or something. So I wonder if, you know, there would be something like that, bolt action themed, you know, like take the Commando war comics and actually make them into films rather than...
They were awesome. They had some weird stuff in there as well, like Paras versus Dinosaurs. That was awesome.
I never saw the Paras versus Dinosaurs.
Oh, that's a good one. Paras versus Dinosaurs. I swear, it was Paras versus Dinosaurs.
Commando war stories.
Yeah, Paras versus Dinosaurs.
It could have happened. It could have happened. But I would quite like to see something like that and sort of making that sort of Commando series into... I wonder if you could do it. I've often thought about, could you do it with, you know, a sort of start-stop motion with using the models, but actually bring those stories to life.
Do you ever turn lights on a Land Raider? That was amazing.
What?
Turn lights.
Oh, yeah, no left.
There's no left turn signal on a Land Raider.
On a Land Raider, so it was a comic strip.
Great.
And it was hilarious. It was about these, obviously, this Land Raider and the crew. Mm-hmm. And it was their sort of adventures that they had. But there was always something really stupid happened. Mm-hmm. And it was written as if, yes, they're models. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the humans are giants. And, you know, guys sort of lose their arm because the glue's not set properly and stuff like that. It was really quite good. Is it good. No left turn or no left signal or Land Raider? But I really enjoyed that. It was good.
That was good.
I would love it if there was something like that for bolt action that was done storybook form but using the models and doing it from, you know, they actually are models but alive. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Improve Conflict 47, just something like Roswell. Get some like aliens up in that.
Well, I suppose they have in a way because you've got the weird war going on.
Mm-hmm. You've got the werewolves as well.
Yeah. So why couldn't you have anything really?
Yeah, aliens up in it. Yeah, get aliens. That'd be cool. Make them like stereotypical aliens. I want like the grey aliens.
The grey aliens?
I want little grey aliens.
I thought aliens were green.
Nah, great.
They're Martians.
Have you never seen, have you ever seen Louis?
Silly me. I've obviously not read the campaign book.
Never watched when Louis meets like the alien people. They tell you all about the different types of aliens.
Well, I have watched it, but I didn't realize I was going to be tested on.
So good.
Louis Theroux is a genius. Yeah. Maybe he should come and do wargaming conventions. Wouldn't that be good?
I think he was trying to do Islamic extremism, but there's certain laws in the UK preventing it. But that again, that's
not a million miles away from wargaming.
Come on,
yeah, that would have been really interesting, though. I would wish I could see that.
Email him, see if we come up with them for him.
All right, King Louis.
King Louis.
Yeah.
So we're getting to about 24 minutes. I think we'll call it a shot there. We've got to get up early in the morning. We're meeting Gaz and Topher to go for a McDonald's to get us ready for the day. Yeah, and then setting up a few tables before we get stuck on. So Monday night, we will bring you the next podcast. And until then, guys, please tune in and send your comments to all the usual places. Take care and mahalo for now.
Bye.